Morning. My name is Gail Van Briggel. This is my husband Joel, and these are our children, Anthony and Emily. We are missionaries to Belgium in Europe, and it's an honor to be with you this morning to share with you a little bit about what God is doing in Europe and to share a little bit about what's on our hearts.
Well, good morning. Happy New Year. What a joy to be with you. We're often asked as missionaries to wear our missionary garb, the clothing that we wear. And guess what? In Europe, we wear jeans and we wear scarves. And usually it's skinny jeans, but I spared you from that this morning. I didn't know that skinny jeans would be all that great for you, me wearing them. But with that being said, I am not cold. I am just wearing my European scarf. So, but it is a joy to be able to serve the Lord and to serve throughout Europe. Gail and I and the kids have been based in Brussels, Belgium, where our team is assembled there. And I had the privilege of working throughout Eastern Europe and partnering with local churches and with local pastors and with church plants across Eastern Europe. How many know that the church is still God's answer for how to reach communities? There's seven of you. That's awesome. Hopefully by the end of the service, we'll all be on board. But with that being said, it's true that when the church is healthy, guess what? Communities are healthier. You know, Kearney is healthier because you're here. All right, come on now. Well, you know, I am so thankful for the privilege of working with those churches and with pastors. And we had the privilege of working throughout Eastern Europe in a number of different communities. If someone would be telling me my story, what happened over the last 3 years, I would look at them and say they exaggerate and they've lived 8 lives in the last 3 years. It has been a whirlwind. I've been in over 20 countries, 40 different villages, seen churches planted in 2 villages that had no evangelical Pentecostal church at all, got to partner with another 4 churches in revitalizing those works and seeing them grow and seeing them thrive. And it's been a powerful journey. And I'm so thankful that, again, that we get to work with these churches and to see God do awesome things. We've seen lives transformed in a number of different ways. And it's being able to engage the local church to be able to connect with their community. And some of the pictures that you've seen are some of the, all of these kids have names. This little girl here on the left, her mother, and we met her standing with her father and her little brother and recognizing that her mother, the mother had just abandoned them. And yet, thank God. Thank God that there are people in churches that are there that are reaching out to these little ones, these precious little ones, and being able to pull them in and be able to draw them in and share the hope and the love of Jesus. And we've been able to see this young girl thriving. This is her just this last summer. So if you go to the next slide, this is her just 2 years after that first picture was taken, filled with hope and filled with the love of Jesus Christ. And we're so thankful for what God is doing. Amen? And we've had privilege to see people healed of cancer. There was a man who came to a service who was carried into the service, completely debilitated from his from joint dysfunction, and just wasn't able to move. We saw God do a marvelous miracle, and it's really kind of cool because we prayed with him, and as we prayed with him, there was no angelic choir, no funny feeling, no anything, no. Just prayed with him, and it wasn't until until later that day, after the service, the pastor the following day happened to be running an errand into the center of town, and went to the center of town only to find this guy that had been carried into the service the day before running around the square telling everyone about how Jesus had touched his life. And he had no joint pain, no problem, no mobility. He could move, and God got the glory for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for partnering. When you partner with missions, when you give to missions, there are missionaries on the other side that are blessed by what you're doing. In fact, your ministry is extended around the world when you give to missions. It is your hands and your feet extended. And when you pray, I want to tell you as a missionary, there have been numerous times where I can tell you that God protected my family. I know that there was only one simple decision. Those of you who have, my mother, kind of funny, before we got called to move to Brussels, Belgium, my mom is like, I've never even heard of Belgium. I grew up in Western Pennsylvania, the fifth generation of crane operators and steelworkers. When I want to visit family, I go to Pittsburgh and I see everybody because they're all there. They haven't moved. They've stayed. I grew up in the same exact house my entire life. And so when I think about it, my mom's like, I've never heard of Belgium until you moved there. And it's been in the news constantly. There's a lot of things happening with the refugees and with terrorism. And recognizing that I know that there were people praying on the Tuesday morning when I should have been at the airport. The day the bomb went off in Brussels, Belgium. I should have been walking through that corridor like I was 3 or 4 times a week, every week. And yet God protected me. And just to share a very quick testimony before Gail plays a song that reminds us about who Christ is. But it was just a little over 2 years ago, November 20th, when I was speaking at Continental Theological Seminary in Brussels, Belgium. I was speaking to some students about transformation in communities and what it looks like and how when we partner with those local pastors, we can be a catalyst towards kingdom expansion. And talking to the students, and I felt like I was going to faint. Now I can tell you, I have never, ever once just fainted. Just randomly. I've had a few needle incidents because I'm one of those big guys that hates needles. How many of you are feeling queasy because I'm talking about needles? But let me tell you, I felt like I was going to faint, and I thought to myself, Joel, just keep holding on to the pulpit, and this feeling will go away. Well, the feeling didn't go away. I collapsed. I was out for 5.5 minutes. The paramedics were called. I awoke before the paramedics arrived. I was very embarrassed. I said, I can't believe I fainted. This is crazy. And they said, well, you need to go to the hospital. And so we went to the hospital where I was diagnosed with a ruptured brain aneurysm. Do you know that 1 in 5 die instantly? Of those who survive, 55% die in the first 48 hours. I want to tell you, friends, when you pray for missionaries, God is moving. He's working on their behalf because God raised me up from that platform and he brought me to this place even here today to be able to stand before you, to speak before you, and to continue the work that God has called us to do is a miracle. And it's because of people like you who've been praying for me. So I want to say thank you to each and every one of you.
We see God working across Europe. And Europe is an old continent. It's a continent and a people group that have existed for centuries and centuries, and they're people that have forgotten God. But we see God taking what was old and making it new again. And I believe that God wants to continue to do that in Europe. I believe that God wants to do that in your lives as we walk into 2018, that God will take the old and he will make it new.
Thank you.
you guys don't mind going till 3 in the afternoon, I can tell you all the stories of all the people that we just saw. There was a little lady there who was kind of standing outside of an outbuilding at her place. She's a 70, actually she's like 81 now. She was like 77 when I met her. She's 81 years old now. She's planted 5 churches in the last 3 years. She's a remarkable lady named Peroska in Hungary. In arcane Hungary. I wish, she's the only woman I've ever met where I was meeting with her for the first time, and we were going to partner with her. We just partnered with them, and we're just there a couple months ago, back in October, and it's amazing to see what God is doing. She is teaching every week in the public school religion classes. God has opened a door for her, and she's the go-to woman in the community. If you have a need, in fact, the mayor calls her to figure out how to help some of the people. That's what transformation's about. That's what the church, friends, if you have problems with the welfare system is not the problem of the government, it's a problem of the church. Okay, I better stop preaching. All right, I'll just go back to the pretty stories. How's that sound? You know, it is amazing to see what God is doing, and it is the continent that once brought God to the world. In fact, October 31st of this past year represented the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, when Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses to the doors in Gutenberg, and we just learn the power of how that one man's faith and being able to proclaim the gospel began to reverberate, and even to this day continues to reverberate. But unfortunately in Europe, if you want to experience religion, you have to go to its museums. When you walk through the museums, you'll see the church relics, you'll see things of the past, because that is what religion is in Europe. It's something of the past. Do you know that less than 3% of Europeans have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Over 341 million people, and less than 3% of them have had an encounter, a life-changing, transforming life change with Jesus Christ. Friends, there's a tremendous need. And there's a tremendous need not only across Europe, there's a tremendous need. I don't know if you've watched the news lately, but there's a need across this region, across New Jersey, across Newark, across Kearney Hillard. God needs to pour out his spirit once again. And guess what? He's called us. Look at the person next to you and say, he's called you. Don't you love those people who are like, I'm waiting for Jesus to tell me I need to talk to my neighbor. As soon as he tells me, I'll tell him. He's already told you. He's already empowered you. He's given you his Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's go to the word today. We're going to be looking at Jeremiah chapter 18. And I want to talk a little bit about, I want to say thanks to Samuel for leading us with victory songs and recognizing. I want to talk a little bit in this new year about transformation, because you see, one of the things that's powerful is we've had the privilege of working in all of these communities. And when I go into these communities and I'm working with the local pastor, I do a lot of listening. I ask them, I say, what would you do? How can we reach this community together? And we've done everything from dredge a river in Macedonia, which I got news for you. It was the first river and the last river I've ever dredged. It is not my specialty, but when the mayor asks you and says, our community is in desperate need of dredging this river, we don't have the money to do it on our own, our government money does not extend, and guess what? Our homes and our businesses are threatened every year by flooding. How many have ever experienced a flood? Let me tell you, it's not pleasant, is it? And so as much as I wanted to renovate the playground in their community, as much as I wanted to do something in the center of town, they asked us to dredge the river, and we had to figure out a way, how are we going to do this? And guess what? All we were doing, there was no church in this community. And the name of the community is Bogdanci, Macedonia. Bogdanci means God-given. God-given. But let me tell you, it is a town that has gone through a radical transformation, and it wasn't a transformation for the good. Somewhere along the line, there was historic root for it to be called God-given. In fact, it is believed that even the Apostle Paul preached in that region of Macedonia. And so there is a heritage there. But in Bogdanci, about 7 years ago, there were five teenagers that committed suicide together, declaring publicly that there was no hope in Bogdanci. The only thing that I wish for in my heart is I could have been there 8 years ago. But I came a couple years after that to find a community that a cloud hovered over. A cloud of depression, a cloud of hopelessness. And when we've been able to come in, and we had a team from Mississippi who came in and cut grass and used weed whackers and weed eaters and things to clean up the banks. And we even bought a backhoe kind of machine to be able to clean out this river. And to see the community mystified why this strange group of Americans was playing around in their river. And yet, there was something that was powerful that was happening. The secular mayor that I sat with, who invited our team to have coffee, sat with us, and she could hardly speak. She held her hands over her heart, and she said, "I'm so sorry, I don't even know what to say. As the mayor of this town, I've never had anyone come into our office, and never, ever have I had anyone wanting to give us anything without strings attached. And you've come, and you've shown love, and you've cared for our community, and you've done something we couldn't do that needed done so desperately. Thank you." And then she looked at me and she said, "When are you doing your ceremony?" I have to admit, I had to pause for a moment. I thought, ceremony, a service. "You mean our service?" "Yes, I want to pray with you." A woman that had no religious background, her heart beginning to melt when something practical gets taken care of. You see, there's something about when you take care of other people and when you, first of all, recognize what we're going to see in this passage in Jeremiah chapter 18 and the heart of my message today. Looking at Jeremiah chapter 18, starting in verses 1 through 4. It's a very familiar passage to us, but it says this: "The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, 'Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message.'" Now I want to pause there for a minute. Have you actually read this and thought about this? God is talking to him and telling him to go down to the potter's house. Don't you think Jeremiah probably thought to himself, "Lord, you're talking to me right now. You could probably just give me the message, right?" But you see, God doesn't always work that way, does he? Sometimes he leads us to places where we can be in a position to hear his voice. Let me tell you, God has positioned you here this morning, and it is not by accident. It's intentional that you're here this morning. I believe that God's going to speak to some of your hearts here this morning. And I believe that God is going to do breakthroughs and things in you that you never even thought possible this morning. "Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping in the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as it seemed best to him." As it seemed best to him. Lord, I come to you now, Lord. Lord, we invite you in this moment. Lord, that we would be clay in your hands. And Lord, that you would mold us into something that seems best to you. Lord, all of our plans, all of our agenda, all of our thoughts, Lord, our thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are our ways your ways, O God. Lord, we invite you to speak to us today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I think all of us want to see transformation, right? Okay, let me try that again. I think all of us want to see transformation, right? Yeah. Woo-hoo, glory. I thought this is going to be a long message. All of us have areas of our lives that we want to see transformation, that we know that when we come, and if there weren't, we wouldn't even have New Year's resolutions. Because guess what? Everybody comes to the New Year's time, and you make New Year's resolutions because you want to transform something that didn't quite go right in 2017, or 2016, 15, 14, 13, 12. We have New Year's resolutions. We want to see transformation. And I want to tell you that transformation comes in a way that Jeremiah is seeing here. And it is simply this, and I have 2 points this morning, and I'm going to violate every preacher's rules. I'm going to give you both points right away. Not supposed to do that, but I know you won't check out because I'm good looking. So, and you're mesmerized by me. The first point, transformation begins with brokenness. And transformation continues with openness. Transformation begins with brokenness. Transformation continues with openness. I want us to ponder that this morning, because if we really seek transformation, it has to begin with this moment of recognition of brokenness. Now, in the 3 years that I was serving in my first term in Europe, I hosted 22 short-term missions teams. Most missionaries are overwhelmed with 3 or 4 in a year. I was a glutton for punishment. I even had a brain aneurysm in the middle of it. So let me tell you, 22 teams was kind of overwhelming, but every one of those teams that came in to do a specific project and to partner with those local churches, I always sat them down before we ever did anything, and I spoke with them about this very important point. And it is that we cannot address someone else's brokenness without first addressing our own brokenness. We have to recognize that without Christ, we were hopeless, lost, destitute, helpless, hopeless, and broken. None of you deserved God's grace. I don't deserve God's grace. But he has given it to us, and he took my broken pieces. He took the pot that was marred in the potter's hand, and he began to reform it into something that seems best to him. All of us have to go through that process. Now, I want to tell you, there is a challenge in our evangelical Pentecostal world that we have to come to grips with, and that is, there are lots of people sitting in our churches that are told that they are saved and yet have never encountered a brokenness and repentance. One more time, sister. Okay, thank you. You see, if we don't recognize first and foremost that we're broken, we're never going to see transformation. And we can't engage. I tell my teams, you are not here to save anyone. You're not here to be the Messiah. The Messiah is the Messiah. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the only one that can take brokenness and bring it together. He's the only one that can make broken things new. I want to tell you, if you have not encountered Jesus Christ on a personal level, I want you to know that today he wants to take the broken pieces of your life, the mistakes that you've made, the messes that you have made, and he wants to make them brand new. But it comes with brokenness. It comes with an acknowledgement of saying, God, I'm broken. I'm hopeless. It's like being dropped out into the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in the very center and left by yourself. How many of you know you can tread water for a little while? But it ain't going to be long, is it? Unless someone rescues you, you are utterly hopeless. But with Christ, there is always hope. With Him, there is always hope. You see, transformation begins with brokenness. As I ponder it today, I want to kind of share with you. Let's leave it right here. I wasn't even going to share this, but I just love this story. Don't you love that building? It's beautiful, isn't it? It's actually better in this picture than it was when I first saw it. I was driving into a community called Derabani. I was called Derabani, and I recognized the longer I was there, they always translated it Deripon. I was like, okay, Deriban. Doesn't matter, does it? All right, move on. I have ADD, so just move with it. With it, what's that? It's in Romania. Yes, it's in Romania. That's important to know. Thank you, Gail. So in Derabani, Romania, I was driving into this place, and the pastor looked at me and he says, the church is on the right-hand side here. And I said, fantastic, but I was driving in and I saw this building on the left. And I said, who owns that building? Now, I have often said that I'm either the best person at my job or the worst person at my job. Because every abandoned building, I see a church. This building was completely abandoned and it was in terrible, deplorable condition. And the pastor said, well, it's actually owned by the Communist Party. Now, even though communism broke up, all the businesses were owned by the Communist Party, and there was a conglomerate of the communists that still own masses of pieces of property. And I said, well, we need that building. And he said, well, I'll research it. Found out who owned it, found out all of the details and what they were asking for it. And I want to tell you, if you think Facebook's evil, it's hard to argue. But I think there are some good things and redemptive things about Facebook. I got on to Facebook one Sunday morning. I was 6 hours ahead because I was in Brussels and I was praying. All of you were sleeping. Except for you insomniacs. But I posted a picture of the building in its original format. And I said, friends, would you pray with me? I believe God wants us to use this building and that God has plans and purposes for this building. And, you know, it wasn't 5 hours later, I had an inbox message. A pastor's wife was leading worship in Illinois, and she said, Joel, I could hardly get the prayer request out to the church during Sunday morning worship. And I shared with them that a missionary needed us to pray for this building. And a man came up to me after service, came up to the pastor's wife after service, and said, I don't care what the building costs. The Lord spoke to me and said, buy it. In 5 hours, that building was bought. As we got to begin work in this building, we were standing there with one of the church leaders in that community. And we were worshiping for the first time. We were standing right inside those windows, and we were on the inside, and it had a guitar player and some people just worshiping the Lord there. And it's powerful what can happen in worship, amen? We're worshiping, and I saw this man. He began to speak and share with us as he had the biggest grin on his face and tears streaming down his face. He said, I remember this building. He said, I remember this building from when I was younger. Because we used to wait in line to get tickets to be able to buy bread. Because this was the communist grocery store. He said this was a place of anger, a place of fighting. He said even those who had a ticket to buy bread, oftentimes the store would just simply run out of bread. And then there would be fighting to be able to get bread so that their families wouldn't starve. He looked at me and he said, what is marvelous to me is that this place where we used to fight for bread will now be a place where the bread of life will be given freely. What you're looking at is a future community center where the kids who normally drop out of school at 10 or 11 years old in the community, they drop out of school at that time, and because they can't afford tutoring and because they can't afford the system the way it's designed, will be a place where they can get free tutoring, where the first thing they're going to get is a meal to feed them, and there's going to be a place where hope can be transformative, where the love of Jesus Christ, and in fact, the pastor is already working at hiring the secular teachers to be able to help them to come into this place, to be able to teach the students, and to be able to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, that is transformation. That is taking a place that was broken, that was owned by the communist, and redeem it for God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I want you to introduce you to a man named Pastor Imrie. And Pastor Imrie, he looks like a nice guy, doesn't he? He's got a lovely, beautiful smile. In fact, every team that I bring into Kampult, Hungary, when we get off the bus, out of the vans, Pastor Imrie is the first guy to meet us there. And it's kind of funny because people are like, they've never met him before. And all of a sudden, I mean, he is fully engulfed in a hug, wrapping his arms around them and loving them. But I want to tell you, the reason I want to tell you his story is because just yesterday was a special anniversary. Yesterday was Pastor Imrie's birthday. I was able to post it on Facebook. And it was on his birthday when something spectacular happened. You see, Pastor Imrie was not always a pastor. Pastor Imrie was in prison. He was serving a life sentence for murder. He was guilty. He had killed a man who didn't pay a bill. He was a painter, and his paint crew beat the man up, and Pastor Imrie finished the job in Kampult, Hungary. And he was sitting on his bed on his birthday. So it would have been yesterday, several years ago, sitting on his bed in his prison. He had tied his sheets together. No one cared about his birthday. No one had said anything to him. He was hopeless. He was desperate. And he was in the dark, dark place, had tied his sheets, ready to hang himself that very day on his birthday. When something happened, another prisoner walked by his cell, looked in and said, "Imrie, can I sit on your bed?" Which never happens in prison. And he sat down on his bed and he said, "I want you to know, Imrie, there's a God who will forgive you. There's a God who loves you. There's a God who can redeem your life." And Imrie turned around and wept until 5 o'clock in the morning, as God began to touch his heart and touch his life. And as he turned around at 5 o'clock in the morning, there was a Bible sitting on his bed. And he began to read. And he began to understand who God was and how much he could experience this love. This man was filled with hate, filled with rage, and now is a guy that is filled with love. And he realized, he began to pray. He got out of prison early at 11 years. He had served 11 years. And he prayed, "God, if you'll let me out, I know that there is something that I can do for you." He got out of prison after 11 years and realized that in the community that had killed a man, they had never heard about this Jesus. So he began to get on a bike and began to go door to door. And one of the regional leaders, he had in prison begun to be discipled through listening to the radio. There was a pastor who had a radio show. And when he got out, he wanted to find that pastor. And that pastor's name is Pastor Andras. He's our partner, one of our regional partners that we partner with, who is sickeningly humble. It's disgusting. You're just like, you're just too humble. Stop it. He's so humble. But he's a guy who pours into the life of other people. You know, discipleship's messy, isn't it? You got to actually get into people's lives and experience it. Well, let me tell you, he took Imri and began to pour into his life, began to see the Holy Spirit at work in Imri's life. And they planted a little church where we've now been able to go in and put in a community center. We turned an old stable into a children and youth center. I could not imagine that the stable could ever turn into anything. And yet they turned it into this beautiful new little facility. There's a community center there. We put a soccer field in. We put in a playground into the community. We saw God do a work in the heart of the mayor. I think we have the picture. That's the mayor there on the left, and in his skinny jeans. And it was amazing to see what God has done in his life over 3 years. I remember the second year I was there. During the first year, we met him, we prayed in his office, and which was a first for him. He said he had never had anybody pray in his office before. Our group began to pray for him in his office. The second year, he came and he grabbed my hand and he said, "Joel, do you remember what you told me?" I thought to myself, "Well, I don't exactly remember. Can you refresh my memory?" He looked at me and he said, "Joel," he said, "that you'd be back. You're a man of your word. I can trust you." Little did I know, little did he know, that I had a brain aneurysm in between the first year and the second year. I often think that God healed me for my family, but I often wonder too, if there wasn't just a mayor in Kampold, Hungary, that needed to see a follower of Christ who was true to his word, that God spared my life. I want to tell you, there are no accidents. He had the strangest request. My daughter's going to cringe that I'm telling you. This third year, we had an unbelievable opportunity. We were there in the community during its biggest celebration of the year. In Hungary, St. Stephen's Day is the number one. It's their Independence Day. It's the celebration of their first king, the celebration of how Hungary became a country, and it's a huge celebration. Our team happened to be there over that time, and the mayor said, "I'd love to give you 30 minutes on the main stage, able to address the entire community." Let me tell you, that didn't just happen. It happened because we served, we served, we loved, we served, we served. And then God opened a door for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the entire community. There were over 750 people there, and this is not it, but that's beautiful anyway. And what's that? That's what we got. It's good. So long story short, which is probably too late for that, but with that being said, the mayor came to us about 15 minutes before we were supposed to go on the stage. There was a rock band playing. They were playing Elvis hits. And he looked at me and he said, "We've talked with the band and we want your team to sing the last song with the band." And the mayor says, "I want you to sing with them Viva USA." I'm scratching my head. Now, I'm a musician, I'm a singer, I know a lot of music. Viva USA was not in my repertoire, and I had never heard of it in my life. And I don't know if you know this or not, I'm American. I've never heard this song before. And so I'm like, "Okay, mayor, whatever you want." And thankfully, the organizer came over, and he's like, "It's not Viva USA, it's Viva Las Vegas." I'm like, "All right." I thought, if all of my churches could see this moment, as we got up and we sang, "Viva Las Vegas." Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, thank you, thank you very much.
But what was amazing was what happened after Viva Las Vegas. Because in this celebration, in this 750 people eating, in this big courtyard, festivities going on, games going on, we began to sing a worship song, and there was a quiet, a hush. One of the teenagers began to share her testimony about how God had rescued her out of a background of abuse. And how the youth pastor then followed up with a simple presentation of the gospel. You could have heard a pin drop across that crowd. Let me tell you, that's what transformation's about. It's recognizing, first and foremost, I am broken, and if it were not for God, I would still be broken and hopeless. But because of him, he has made me whole, and because of that wholeness, I want to bring you to the one who can make you whole. Brokenness begins with transformation. Yes, that's not right. Transformation begins with brokenness, but brokenness is not an end, but a beginning. The idea of brokenness this morning sounds ominous, but I want to tell you there is a hope that comes with brokenness, because it is at that moment in humility that God will come in and do what you've been trying to do on your own for long enough. He will come in and take your brokenness, but it begins with openness. I want to tell you, it continues with openness. There are some of us here that are broken, some that are in fractured relationships, some of you who have had difficult circumstances, some of you have faced economic challenges, some of you who have broken relationships, broken friendships, broken marriages, places of brokenness in your own life. I want to tell you that we serve a God who still works with brokenness, who loves you more than you could ever love yourself, who loves you with an everlasting love, who gave his son to die on a cross so that you wouldn't have to experience that eternal brokenness in relationship with God, but that you could experience relationship with him. But transformation continues with openness. I want to conclude here with just a few questions. Are you open to God doing something bigger with your life than you ever thought possible? You see, transformation continues with openness. It's an openness towards God. It's an openness towards saying, God, I can't do it on my own, but I need you. I need you to take the broken pieces. I need you to make it new. Would you pursue a life of missions if God called you to it? Would you change directions or change life circumstances if God asked you to? Are you open to giving something outrageous so that those who have never heard could hear of his love and his forgiveness and his peace? Are you open to serving at a local food pantry, giving time out of your schedule to meet the needs of your neighbor? Strange question here this morning, but I just feel prodded to ask it. Do you know your neighbor's name? Do you know the people that you interact with every day? Do you ever address the brokenness? Do you ever wake up and say, God, I'm broken today. I've been broken, but I need you to make me whole. And God, as I go, because of what you've done, help me to share your wholeness with other people. I want to tell you, God wants to use you. I'm so excited you've got a new pastor candidate coming next week. Let me tell you, it's been probably a struggle getting through the last 6 months. But I want to tell you, the biggest struggle is not getting getting someone who can just lead the church, but it's the church becoming the church. It's you and I recognizing what you and I can do. It's you and I recognizing what we together can accomplish. Oh God, Lord, there is so much brokenness around us today. Lord, even as the young lady asked me this morning on the sidewalk where the NA meeting was, Lord, there's a Narcotics Anonymous group meeting right around this building right now. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you begin to set free. Lord, I pray that you begin to draw by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that addicts wouldn't come to NA anymore. They'd come to church. Lord, I pray that they'd come to West Hudson, Lord Jesus, Christian Center, right here. Lord, I pray that they'd walk through these doors as they walk through the threshold of this building, that they would recognize, Lord, first that they are broken, and Lord, that they're coming into a place where brokenness is made whole. Lord, I pray that they would experience people who would not judge them, Lord, who would not look down upon them, but Lord, people who would recognize first that they are broken, and that in their brokenness, Lord, transformation can take place. Lord, I love you so much. Lord, I pray for those who are broken this morning with no one looking around. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord is your personal Savior, if you've not invited him to make your brokenness whole, and you will say to yourself, I want to be whole. I don't want to be broken anymore. I'm broken. I recognize my brokenness and I need him to make me whole. Simply make eye contact with me, upraised hand, and say, you know what, that's me this morning. I need him in my life. I don't want to be broken anymore. I need his healing in my life. Anyone at all? Yes, thank you. Anyone else this morning? Lord, I thank you that you take broken things and, Lord, you make them new. Lord, I'm thankful that you take, Lord, us in our hopeless state, and Lord, you infuse us with hope, with courage, with faith, Lord, with love, with peace, with a joy everlasting. Lord, I thank you for that, and Lord, I thank you that, Lord, that brokenness is just a beginning, that, Lord, there is an openness that, Lord, helps us to continue in the process of transformation. Lord, I pray in 2018, Lord, we'd not only first acknowledge our brokenness, but Lord, that we would continue through 2018 to be open. That our openness, Lord, of other people, our openness of one another, our openness of our own heart, Lord, to see the extraordinary happen. Lord, if you can buy a building, Lord, in 5 hours on Facebook, Lord, who knows what could happen if we would simply be obedient to you. And Lord, that we would take everything in our hands that we have gripped, and Lord, we would address it with openness, with an open hand, as you have openly given us grace. Lord, let us be open with everything that we have. And Lord, we will see transformation come. In Jesus' precious name, I pray.